Leviticus chapter 27, verses 1 through 8. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, if anyone makes a special vow to the Lord involving the valuation of persons, then the valuation of a male from 20 years old up to 60 years shall be 50 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. If the person is a female, the valuation shall be 30 shekels. If the person is from 5 years old up to 20 years old, the valuation shall be for a male 20 shekels, and for a female 10 shekels. If the person is from a month old up to 5 years old, the valuation shall be for a male 5 shekels of silver, and for a female the valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if the person is 60 years old or over, then the valuation for a male shall be 15 shekels, and for a female 10 shekels. And if someone is too poor to pay the valuation, then he shall be made to stand before the priest, and the priest shall value him. The priest shall value him according to what the vower can afford." This is the word of the Lord. God gives himself to his people, that his people might give themselves to him. God gives himself to his people, that his people might give themselves to him. God gives himself to you, that you might give yourselves to him. This is a relationship. This is a covenant. And the covenant begins with God. We love him because he first loved us. He does not love us because we first loved him. He does not save us because we first gave ourselves to him. He gave himself for us when we were his enemies, when we refused to give ourselves to him. He loved us before we were able to love him. He loved us even before we were. He has loved us. He has known us from before the foundation of the world. The covenant begins with God. Salvation begins with God. It's not an agreement between God and man. It is something that God does for man. It is not something you agreed to. It is something that God has done for you. But the purpose of salvation, the purpose of the covenant, is fellowship between God and man. The purpose of the covenant is a relationship between God and man, communion between God and man. A relationship in which God's people respond to Him, in which they respond to Him in adoration, in which they respond to His love for them with their love for Him. God brings you into His covenant that you might respond to His love of you with your love of Him. God gives Himself to His people that His people might give themselves to Him. God gives Himself to you that you might give yourselves to Him, and that you might do so most willingly and most freely. And if we keep this in mind, it helps us to understand the end of Leviticus, where we see God's people vowing to the Lord not only their possessions, but their lives. At the end of Leviticus, we see God's people giving themselves to Him. Now, at the center of Leviticus is the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God in the midst of His people. And the great promise of Leviticus is that God would dwell among His people, that His soul would not abhor them, that He would even walk among them, that He would be their God, that they would be His people. For again, the purpose of salvation is fellowship. The purpose of salvation is communion with the Lord. The purpose of salvation is that you might dwell with the Lord. And so the book of Leviticus begins, or the book of Exodus ends. In the book of Exodus, we see God's deliverance of His people. But it ends with a problem. What is the problem at the end of Exodus? God has brought His people out of Egypt. He has brought them to his mountain. He has given them the tabernacle, which is to be his dwelling among them. And the work of setting up the tabernacle is finished. And the cloud covers the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord fills the tabernacle. The end of Exodus is great and glorious. What could possibly be the problem with that? At the end of Exodus, the Lord is the glory in his people's midst. The dwelling place of God is in their midst. The place where they will meet with him. But therein lies the problem. At the end of Exodus, Exodus chapter 40, verse 35, Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the glory of the Lord filled it. How will God's people meet with him if they cannot enter the place of that meeting? Here we have God dwelling in the midst of his people, but they were not able to approach him, and so they could not enjoy communion with him. Which is why we have the book of Leviticus. Leviticus is God's response to this problem. In Leviticus, God makes a way for his people to approach him. In Leviticus, God makes a way for his people to enjoy fellowship with him. The beginning of Leviticus, it is connected to the end of Exodus. But not just the beginning, the end also. The end of Leviticus takes us back to the end of Exodus. It forms the conclusion to that problem with which Exodus ended. There is a verbal link between Leviticus chapter 27 and Exodus chapter 40. And it is the word that is translated as valuation in our passage. The word translated as valuation in Leviticus chapter 27, it is first used in Exodus chapter 40. That word links these two chapters together. And it appears twice in Exodus chapter 40, in verse 4 and in verse 23. Both of those verses concern the table of the tabernacle and the bread that is placed on the table in the holy place. Now, if you read those verses in the ESV, you won't see the connection between these two passages. The ESV doesn't translate that word in either verse. And so if you want to see it translated, you need that most literal of English translations, the King James Version. Exodus chapter 40, verse 4. And thou shalt bring in the table and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it. And in Exodus chapter 40, verse 23, when Moses puts the table in the tent of meeting, He set the bread in order upon it before the Lord. Now, even then, you don't hear the word valuation, because what is translated as valuation or estimation in Leviticus chapter 27, it is translated as order or arrangement in Exodus chapter 40. But in Hebrew, it's the same word in both places. Now, what's interesting about that is that we've already seen a connection between God's people and the bread of the presence. We've already seen a connection between God's people in Leviticus and the bread that is placed upon the table in the holy place of the tabernacle. In Leviticus chapter 24, the bread of the presence was how many loaves? It was 12 loaves. And those loaves were to be set upon the table, arranged on the table before the Lord every Sabbath day. And the 12 loaves, they corresponded to the 12 tribes of Israel. The bread of the presence, the bread set upon the table before the Lord, it was symbolic of the body of His people. It was symbolic of the body of Israel. It was a sign to the people of their dwelling in the presence of the Lord on the Sabbath day. And so in Exodus chapter 40, even as you have this problem of the people not being able to enter the tent of meeting because the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, even as you have that problem, you also have this sign of hope, this sign of promise with the table that was in the tent of meeting and that which was set upon it. The 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes, the bread of the presence representing God's people. Even as the people found themselves unable to enter the tent of meeting at the end of Exodus, God was assuring His people through the bread of the presence that He would make a way for them. That He would make a way for them to enter into that tent of meeting. That He would make a way for them to dwell in His presence. And that way is revealed to us throughout Leviticus. And so when we come to the end of Leviticus, we should not be surprised that we see this echo of the end of Exodus. The ending of Leviticus, it recalls the ending of Exodus. At the end of Exodus, we find the bread of the presence set before the Lord. And at the end of Leviticus, we find God's people bowing themselves to the Lord, giving themselves to the Lord. At the end of Exodus, we read of the arrangement or the order of the bread of the presence. And at the end of Leviticus, we read of the arrangement or the order of the people of God's presence. For when someone bows himself to the Lord, He is vowing himself to the sanctuary. He is vowing himself to the dwelling place of the Lord. Just as the bread was set before the Lord in his house, so also a person who is vowed to the Lord is set before the Lord in his house. And we see this in Scripture. We see it very clearly in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, when Hannah vows to the Lord her son all the days of his life. And what did it mean for Samuel to be vowed to the Lord? It meant that he would dwell in the house of the Lord. That he would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. And that is where Hannah brings her son after he is born. She brings him to the house of the Lord. And that is where she leaves him. He no longer belonged to her. He belonged to the Lord. Someone who is vowed to the Lord is to be set before the Lord in his house. At the end of Exodus, the bread is set before the Lord. And at the end of Leviticus, the people are set before the Lord as they vow themselves to him. It is the expression of their hope. It is the expression of their heart's greatest desire to dwell in his house, to live in his presence, to walk in his light. But why did these vows require the giving of money? Why is it in Leviticus chapter 27 that the making of these vows involved the giving of money? It was because under the old covenant, though one might vow himself to the Lord, unless he were a Levite or a priest, he could not dwell in the tabernacle or serve in the tabernacle. And so even as Leviticus ends, we're still left looking for something more. But as one could not give himself to the Lord in this way, instead, he gave his value to the Lord. He gave himself to the Lord by giving to the Lord the value assigned to him. But what are we to make of these different valuations? What are we to make of the different valuations prescribed by Leviticus chapter 27? What is the reason for these different valuations? Differences between young and old. Differences between male and female. Some have suggested that the differences in valuation reflect differences in importance. That doesn't seem quite right. For in Leviticus chapter 27, an older man has a lesser valuation than a younger man. But according to Leviticus itself, the older man is more worthy of honor than the younger man. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, "You shall stand up before the gray head. you shall honor the face of an old man. But if the difference is not a difference of importance, others have suggested that the differences in valuation reflect differences in strength. In strength or productivity. Which is possible, for men in general are physically stronger than women. Though even in Scripture, they are no less productive than men. And so difference in strength doesn't seem quite right. In fact, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 32, the value of a slave is set at 30 shekels, and that is true for a male slave or a female slave. Nevertheless, I think this points us in the right direction. This idea of strength. For the valuations of Leviticus chapter 27, they are not measurements of how valuable a person is. They are not measures of intrinsic worth, such that the grown are more valuable than the young, or that males are more valuable than females. Now, what we find in Leviticus chapter 27, what we find in these valuations, are valuations according to weight. And so you have a person's value increasing as he reaches maturity, corresponding to his growth and increasing in weight, which is why his value again decreases as he becomes older and as he again decreases in weight. And this would also explain why males have a higher valuation than females, because in general, men are larger and heavier than women. Now, we sometimes speak figuratively of someone being worth his weight in gold. But here we're speaking more literally of someone being worth his weight in silver, according to the weight of the sanctuary. For they are valued according to the shekel of the sanctuary, or the weight of the sanctuary. The shekel, it was a measurement of weight. 20 shekels were of higher value than 10 shekels because 20 shekels weighed more than 10 shekels. The shekel was a measurement of weight. And so in Leviticus chapter 27, the people are being valued according to their weight, according to the weight of the sanctuary. And this makes good sense. If the contribution was to be a representation of the person, the person is vowing himself to the Lord, and he gives himself to the Lord through a representation of his weight, according to the weight of the sanctuary. Though a person himself could not physically dwell in the tabernacle, through his contribution he could. And this may sound a little far-fetched, but it's worth noting that each of these different valuations in Leviticus chapter 27, each one of them corresponds to different measurements in the construction of the tabernacle, which speaks again to the greatness of God's promise in Leviticus. Not only that he would make his dwelling place among his people, but that he would make his people his dwelling place. And that is what you are. The hope with which Leviticus ends. It has been fulfilled by Christ in the church. If you read Leviticus chapter 27 and you find yourself upset about the different valuations accorded to young or old, to male or female, then you've missed the point. But the point is this. They all belonged to the Lord. Whether male or female, whether young or old, they all belonged to the Lord. And you all belong to the Lord. Redemption does not erase the distinctions among you. Young or old, male or female, rich or poor. But in the end, you all belong to Him. In the end, you all dwell with Him. In the end, you are all part of his dwelling. And so in the end, you all share the same value. The value of the Lord. The value of Christ. Weight of his presence. If you are in Christ, you all share the same weight of glory, an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Seek your value in Him. Seek your worth in Him. Seek your glory in Him. Give yourselves to Him. Amen. Let us pray.